And it's exactly 20 minutes to 9 o'clock on Radio Veritas 576 AM. And so there's a story of Charlie Gard, this 15-month-old baby who suffered from a mitochondrial disorder. I think that's how you say, mitochondrial disorder, that has actually led to brain damage, frequent seizures, progressive muscle wasting and respiratory failure, which means, of course, the loss of the ability to breathe independently, which then necessitates mechanical ventilation for his survival. So you have heard that there's been development in the case. Well, with the Great Ormond Street Hospital in London applying for a new hearing with the High Court after new evidence suggests that Charlie Gard, this critically ill baby, could benefit from an experimental treatment. So it's a question of ethics, a question of morals, who is supposed to make the decision, and so on. So we speak to Father Hyacinth Innes and a Franciscan and a moral theologian. Father Hyacinth.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
Well, thank you.
Now, I've mentioned all these things, you know, that Charlie Gard suffered from this disorder and so on. And speaking about all this, taking a step back to Pope John Paul II's encyclical Evangelium Vitae, that states the ordinary and extraordinary treatments. Do you want to first take us through what that is before we can actually talk about what the church is, you know, how then the church would be part of this?
Right. Well, the ordinary treatments are what we would rationally consider as according to the command of God, that we don't kill, and putting that in ordinary human terms would be don't do any damage or don't hurt or don't harm or injure anybody.
Yes.
Let people be, let life be. So the ordinary treatments then would be anything that would be of benefit to the person who is, say, suffering from some sort of malfunction of the body. That would be, if it renders benefits, then well and good. However, there are also certain treatments that would be considered also extraordinary, because the said treatments might be something that would not be normally done in the circumstances, and therefore, say for example, they're burdensome or they're costly or they're causing pain to the individual or to others indeed surrounding the individual, like families and friends. So that's just to try and explain what you mean in general, the distinction between ordinary treatment and extraordinary. The thing is about human life, we can always take risks to help people to keep themselves in good health. But obviously the risks should be as such reasonable, and that's why we talk about ordinary and proportionate means of continuing in health, whereas other means might be quite exceptional and extraordinary. But in that case, then, one has to weigh up the difference between burdens and benefits. That's
yes.
What it comes down to, the balance between the two. So in the effort to be reasonable, one has to assess whether such and such a treatment would be more beneficial or would the risk be burdensome. In other words, something that would do not only harm or pain to the individual, but also to others attached to that person.
So, looking at that, then, would you say Charlie Gard's one is extraordinary?
Well, At the moment, it looks like extraordinary because, as you rightly indicated there, in the beginning, when, of course, Charlie's parents, they did the very correct thing. They got him into hospital as soon as they saw there was a problem with him. I think he's about 11 months old now. So they acted very swiftly. They did the right thing, get the medical support and see what's wrong. So Chris and Connie Gard did bring him to the doctors. Now, the doctors in question were in the hospital in London, the Great Ormond Street Hospital. Yes. And we as far as we can understand, there's quite a team of excellent doctors there in the part that would be as regards children and their diseases and sufferings. And those good doctors assessing the case, as you mentioned there, the particular, it's a very unusual condition, incidentally, but it has already caused a certain amount of brain damage. And of course, poor little Charlie gets frequent seizures and also muscle wasting, and then the business about breathing becomes very difficult. And so there's a necessity of giving help to him in order to eat and drink, first of all, and then to keep him alive in the sense of that he can breathe and all of that. So there are mechanical devices then used to keep Charlie alive. Now, they're looking at that, and that is extraordinary already. And then they're looking at, there's not much hope or benefit for him as regards he improving with the passage of time. That's what they're assessing. Yes. So then Chris and Connie, the parents, decided to challenge that and therefore take it out of the hands of the doctors and appeal to the courts. And they did that. And it was a lengthy legal process by which they sought the advice of the courts in England, and the High Court, even the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court, they all gave in favour of the doctors at the Great Ormond Street Hospital, that they were not doing anything wrong by deciding to stop any further treatment. But yes, however, the parents kept insisting, and then it was that the doctors even went so far as to get the advice of doctors in Italy and Spain. And because then the Americans intervened in the case, news gets out very quickly among the medical profession, and Charlie Gard's case then surfaced, and a group or a doctor in America was willing to use experimental drugs that they hadn't been used before. Yes. And they were wondering if they could get Charlie over to America, then they could apply these treatments they have over there that are risky at the moment. So that's where it was at from the legal point of view. And that's where, incidentally, the Pope intervened as well and said that he would be willing to try and get him a passport to get him to Italy or to the Vatican. They have certainly facilities there, very good facilities for treating children. Of course, the same thing would apply to America. He would have to have a visa. Yes. To be allowed to enter the USA. So it's now got to the stage of an international legal case, if you know what I mean, huh?
Definitely, Father. This has now become an international legal case. An 11-month-old baby sitting in hospital on life support, and doctors then deciding where to go from here.
Yep. And the doctors are not doing anything wrong in this sense, that their arguments are certainly pretty valid. As I said already, they would consider this quite exceptional and extraordinary. Furthermore, the doctors in the London hospital are not too sure how risky moving Charlie from the hospital itself, whether or not there's great risks in that. And furthermore, the treatment supposedly in the United States would also be considered extraordinary because it hasn't been tried before. I don't know about the Italian one, except that obviously the Pope would make sure it be one of the best children hospitals in Italy, probably one of their own attached to the Vatican. I know that, having lived in Rome myself, I know they have some excellent hospitals in Rome too. But last evening it was reported on the BBC as well as on Sky News. I'd watched them, and they said that the parents had gone back to go to the courts again in England to revert the decision they made favouring the doctors originally.
Yes.
So I suppose that they said that the court case will probably take place today. They'll have to get it swiftly done because, I mean, time is of the essence at the moment. The poor little Charlie, if he's deteriorating as the days go by, then that's a serious matter as well.
And Father, so we've spoken about, you know, the church and the looking at it from the ordinary and extraordinary frameworks that you focused on. But then there's, of course, another thing that then... in the medical field, doctors or the medical ethics, are physicians or doctors then obligated to offer treatments even when they see that there's no benefit? In other words, the non-beneficial framework now.
Yes. You see, this is where you have two exaggerations. One, which is referred to as usually as vitalism. In other words, that you would do everything possible in order to keep people alive. But that's not what we're expected to do. That sort of extreme, no. And of course, the other extreme was, well, let's drop the case and let them die off there like that. No, we have to somewhere in between. That's why, as I say, balance between benefits and burdens. And that's a very difficult thing. That's why this case is like many cases in regard to dying patients, where the church has always treated them with extreme delicacy and sensitivity, because, you know, the parents, obviously, they really love Charlie, so one has to take that into account. But on the other hand, you can't go to extremes in trying to keep people alive at all costs. I said cost there because it is a fact that the economic factor has not entered into this yet.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? The cost of all these treatments, etc. But seemingly, the parents say that there are many good donors. And I'd imagine that is true, too. People can be very generous in such cases in helping people to get the medical treatment that might be of benefit to the patient. So, but notice I stressed might be. So there's always a doubt. That's why there are abundant doubts in this case of Charlie, I think. And that's why people are very nervous about the how to treat the question. But at the moment, as I say, it's back to the courts again. They're being challenged by his good parents. They just want to be sure that they're fulfilling their parental role, Chris and Connie Gard. And so they're saying, look, could you not do something else, or could we not try the other things that are offered to us as well? But
yes.
On the other hand, they say, you know, the doctors say, well, this is really bordering on the extraordinary and the non-proportionate or abnormal procedures.
And Father, you spoke about the extremes or the exaggerations there. And, you know, these seven doctors or a team of seven medical experts then saying that there's evidence That suggests that, you know, this experimental drug could improve Charlie's brain condition. And perhaps the question there would be, okay, he would maybe survive and then, you know, be able to live again. But is it just improving the brain condition? Is it, and does it then make him perfect? And if that's not the case, then are we only focusing on being perfect as human beings, or do we focus on the humanity of our being human?
Yeah, well, of course, it's the medical people that can tell us, as far as they are judging by the symptoms, what they are picking up of Charlie. And they're, of course, on 24 hours a day, they're checking him up, you know, with charts and all of that, and passing the information from one to the other and discussing it among themselves. And they're being very reasonable and rational about the whole matter. And they know the principle of not killing people, innocent human beings. I mean, Charlie has done nothing. He's just lying there. But on the other hand, respect for human life and the dignity of the human person, that's what they want to also respect. But they don't want to be continuing with treatments that are of no benefit whatsoever. And at the moment, if indeed his condition is deteriorating, why not allow him, as they say themselves, to die with dignity? Do you know what I mean? In other words, they would not suspend ordinary care, in other words, feeding and keeping him comfortable in the bed, etc., that sort of thing, you know. But not to be continuing with these excessive and, I'm afraid, very expensive means or procedures of maintaining life in Charlie.
Father Hyacinth Innes, and of course we're talking about the case of Charlie Gard. If you haven't seen it, just Google Charlie Gard, G-A-R-D, that's the surname, and just follow the case there. Of course, Pope Francis, as Father Hyacinth mentioned, even considered giving Charlie Gard a Vatican passport so that he could be treated at Gesù, Bambino Gesù Hospital in Rome as well. Father Hyacinth, anything else you'd like to add before we conclude?
Well, I just would remark that obviously the major principle is to do whatever is in the best interest of the patient. And that doesn't mean keeping alive at all costs. It doesn't mean that at all. That would be the extreme level. On the other hand, we're not just considered as a flippant thing. In other words, really not important. No, I think the case is important because it tries to help us to understand how we reasonably behave. And in that way, we're just being human beings at our best level. And that's why one should recommend and also help the those who have responsibility in regard to human life, the medical profession, but also the legal profession, and of course the sympathy for the parents involved as well.
So, Father Hyacinth, one would say then, now the court, the hospital is applying again for a new hearing and so on, this is the beginning. It's not anywhere close to being the end of it.
No, it's not. I would wonder what will the judges decide in England today or the next few days.
Yes.
Would they go along with him being extradited to the States or to Italy, whatever the case may be? But it'll be interesting to see how things will pan out. But at the moment, there's no necessity to keep him on these extraordinary methods, because they are quite extraordinary what's going on at the moment.
So in the end, then the parents should be allowed to make the final decision on their
son. See, this is where the difficulty comes. They don't want to feel guilty if he should die, you see. That's what really worrying them. But on the other hand, I'm sure there are good people explaining to them what the Catholic Church, at least, is saying about not applying procedures that are quite abnormal and quite disproportionate to the whole question of the balancing the benefits and the burdens.
Father Hyacinth, thank you very much for your time, and I'm sure we will be getting back to you again as this case, of course.
And you know what? It just shows you life is a mystery. You know what I mean? At the beginning and at the end.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Father Hyacinth.
Not at all. God bless you.
God bless. And so there we are, the story of Charlie Gard. As I say, let's watch that one as it unfolds. Just Google Charlie Gard, G-A-R-D, that's the surname, and follow the story of Charlie Gard. And Pope Francis, of course, also following this story very closely. He has commented twice already about Charlie Gard, and as we said, even considered giving him a Vatican passport so that he could be treated at the hospital in Rome at the Vatican. It's exactly 9 o'clock here on Radio Veritas, 5:07, 6 a.m. And thank you very much for joining us here on Radio Veritas. Myself, Khanyadi Tab, and Colin York, standing in for Father ML Blaza. He'll be back with you on Wednesday.